In Walter Isaacson's biography of Steve Jobs, Jobs is quoted as stating, "I will spend my last dying breath if I need to, and I will spend every penny of Apple's $40 billion in the bank to right this wrong. I'm going to destroy Android because it's a stolen product. I'm willing to go thermonuclear war on this." The recent jury verdict in Apple versus Samsung seems to be a major victory in the war. Android, of course, is the operating system for smartphones and tablets developed by Google to compete with Apple's iPhone and iPad. Samsung's smartphones and tablets are Android devices. Thus, one narrative for this conflict would depict it as an epic battle between the innovators at Apple and the copycats at Google. A different narrative, more prevalent among patent attorneys, would depict the conflict as a business-as-usual grudge match between two tech giants vying for market share. As a matter of legal development, the case and its outcome brings two issues into the spotlight. First, the jury verdict begs the question over whether it makes sense to have lay juries render verdicts in matters of complexity that defy understanding by the uninitiated layman. Second, the verdict can no doubt demand revisiting the question over whether or not the American patent system is succeeding in keeping ahead of the mode of innovation in the IT world. One point of controversy in the jury verdict relates to a public statement made by the jury's foreman. He stated that with respect to the utility patents in question, the decisive matter in his mind was that Apple's patents were not rendered obvious and invalid by the prior art, meaning no earlier technology or publication predated the iPhone because the iPhone's programming was not compatible with the earlier technology. The statement contradicted the express instructions of the judge, and they reveal a fundamental misunderstanding of the rules that govern prior art. The scope of technical knowledge and the specificity of legal knowledge required to understand modern patent cases has resulted in a movement that has increasingly limited jurisdiction of patent cases to specialty courts in recognition of the technical complexities that exist in the patent world. Second, we arrive at the general and perhaps more fundamental question arising from a mega controversy like Apple versus Samsung. Is the current patent regime optimized to balance the need for strong protective measures to incentivize innovation in information technology while at the same time not hampering follow-on improvements with protection that is too strong? The interweaving of every element of information technology makes this balance difficult. For example, Samsung produces components that Apple buys to build a platform for its programming that runs Google applications. Similarly, Samsung uses an operating system with origins from Oracle and that is owned by Google that licenses programming from Microsoft to build an end product that is similar to the iPhone. In these circumstances, it becomes harder and harder to tell who is copying from whom and how much innovation by one party sets the standard for the next level of a particular technology such that it should own the sole rights to that technology. In fact, Steve Jobs in 1996 in a television commentary, A Triumph of the Nerds, stated, "It comes down to trying to expose yourself to the best things that humans have done, and then to try and bring those things in to what you're doing. And we have always been shameless about stealing great ideas." The contradiction in this 1996 statement with what Jobs told Walter Isaacson 15 years later captures much of the inherent tensions in this debate. I'm Jay Kaysen.